Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right, so, oh, it's a bit like Gladiator, isn't it? Contender, ready. Have you watched the new series?
No, is it good?
I've got to tell you, I'm getting real vibes off it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Who's presenting it?
Bradley Walsh and his talentless son.
Danny. What? You can't put that on the podcast.
Why not?
Well, we might want to be on the TV show with him one day.
Yeah,
I could do Gladiators.
Apparently, this is a real, what do you call it? Cliche that comedians used to do back in the noughties. And you'd ask an audience member what their Gladiator name was. I didn't know that had ever been a thing.
What?
Yeah, so that's something to think of. I won't put you on the spot.
Hang on, that actually happened?
Well, like, you know, back in the day when MC and Gladiators was on, you'd start to, what would be your Gladiator name?
How do you know that?
Read it on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so something to think about.
It was really popular though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. So. Honestly, it brought back loads of feelings. Anyway, Dom, just slightly angle that up.
Yep.
More of the angle than, yep. That's it, there it is.
Perfect.
Oh, yep, sounds good.
And here we go.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I am joined in the podcast studio by the one and only, it's only Danny Wood.
Hello everyone, here I am.
And it's a guest episode. In the house we have Dom Biswas.
Oh yeah.
Hello everyone, how's it going?
How long have you been doing comedy?
I've been doing it for like 16 years, but I've been only taking it seriously since last week, so.
Because he got the book in for the podcast, he's like, yeah. Right now this means business.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I've only made it since I got to this podcast.
So. We started together, Dom, now this will test our... Do you remember the song that was playing when I met you on my iPhone?
It sounds really romantic.
Because it's funny, the thing that I remember, you remembering.
Yeah, I forgot what I'm trying to think.
Hang on, you were playing a song on your iPhone at a gig?
He saw it was playing and he mentioned it.
Was this at the Bedford in Balham?
Yeah.
Was it the song that you lost your virginity to, Danny?
No. Natalie Imbruglia at all.
That was an excellent night, Danny, thank you.
It was Hall & Oates, Man Eater.
I remember
I'm disappointed you've forgotten that.
That's so weird that you remember him that's such a weird thing.
Yeah. And I've always remembered that he remembered, you see.
Yeah.
And now he's forgotten.
Now I've forgotten.
But before we go on, I've got something I need to do.
Yeah?
And I'm sorry that you've been caught up in this.
Yeah? Oh, hang on.
Go on.
Is this headphone related?
It might be.
Ooh.
Why is that? Because...
So I've got an announcement.
What's your announcement, Mark?
I've got an announcement as well.
What's that?
Basically, Danny and Mark can't afford a counsellor, so that's why I'm here.
Spending all the equipment, mate.
Exactly, yeah.
Look at it all.
Danny.
Yeah.
This was meant to be a big moment.
Right.
Where I was going to... I've bought...
Have you?
Some headphones.
Have you?
And I was going to present them...
To me.
And I've left them at home.
Have you, mate?
Ooh,
yeah.
No, and convenient.
And I could get the Amazon...
And now look what's happened.
You haven't.
And there we are.
We've got an extra...
And I've bought the...
Oh, no.
I gave in. So you won.
No.
Oh.
Wow.
But I bought some.
You did buy them as well. That's unbelievable.
Well, oh, my God.
For years, it feels like.
Yeah.
Just refusing.
Not refusing.
To get a third pair of headphones.
Just not getting round to it.
And last night, quite late, I went on Amazon and I thought.
Last night?
Yeah, they got away this morning.
Oh, see, I bought mine 4 or 5 days ago. So actually, technically, I did do my job.
So,
does that mean I can send mine back? We've got a nice spare. We could have two guests now.
Well, we could do, yeah.
That's what we've been waiting for.
We would need an all elusive fourth microphone then. And a couple more mic muffs.
I've got some.
Look, it's a nice little bit of kit, actually. It comes in a nice.
We get a live unboxing.
So, yeah, it's a live unboxing.
Live unboxing.
How much per day?
Don't you worry about that. How much did you spend?
I can't really remember that. 30 quid.
Yeah, I think it was round about that.
Here, 30 Dom, quid's pretty cheap.
Isn't that mad? Yeah, they've got on the same.
Yeah, it's funny that, isn't it?
But I had all you got the train back from the last tour show, so I put the
had your camera, so that's all in my bag. It's right. Cool. I just didn't even enter my head to bring them. I'm so annoyed about that.
What? Oh, well. No headphones, so.
Well, no, you've got some now, Don.
Look at this. Nice.
Yeah, these are for you,
chap. If they work.
I'm just going to walk out with them, so.
So here we go. Keep filling. But if I, hopefully, all being well.
Absolutely. Well, I was just thinking, here. Don, what would your gladiator name be?
My gladiator would be headphones.
Headphones.
Yeah, actually now I've got some headphones, so.
Yeah, there we go. That's lovely. Get them on your head, mate.
Yeah, headphones. That's my gladiator name.
Headphones. Or you can bet.
I've heard that gladiator.
Cans.
Sound.
Cans would be a good.
Cans. Yeah, that. Oh no, that's. Well, yeah.
Why? What are you thinking of, Mark? look how good he looks in them.
He does look good.
Thank you.
Can you hear what we're saying, Don?
Yep, hopefully. I can. Now it's all good. So.
And you can hear yourself.
Yeah, before the headphones, it was absolute rubbish, but now.
And that means you can hear like the fun jingles like this. Which people couldn't
That's
hear
brilliant.
Before.
Speaking of gladiators, it feels like we're back into the 90s now with that jingle. And
so radio, Steve Wright in the morning. Oh, I wish it was the 90s, don't you?
I wish you had Steve Wright on the podcast as well. The comedian, obviously.
Oh, right. Yeah,
no, I meant Stephen Wright.
Stephen Wright.
Yeah, you're a big fan of his.
Brilliant. Well, one of the best gag writers ever.
What actually made you want to be a comedian, Don? Have you got like a comedian that you were like big on before you started?
The first comedian I saw live, like on tour, was Tim Vine.
Was it?
Yeah. Great. I saw him at Shepherd's Bush Empire. Brilliant. And I just thought I wanted to do something like that.
Yeah.
I wrote a few jokes at uni. My sister went to an open mic night, the Bedford Baddam, where we met.
Oh, was that so? I thought that was a joke. Was that one of your first gigs then, Danny, when you met Don? Because you did all your first gigs there.
All down to Bedford, yeah.
Yeah, Danny started, I think, a couple of years after me. I went there. My sister's boss was doing it as a bet.
Oh.
And I thought I could sign up. But my sister warned me against doing stand-up because it would bring shame to the family in a nice way. I signed up. And then I did my first gig a couple of months later with one of your regulars, which was Joe Ball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was at my first gig ever. So.
Hello, Joe.
Yeah, Joe was there. Joe would have been in comedy for 20 years.
You won't like that. Getting out. Funny, Joe Roundtree was on my first gig.
Oh, really?
And Joe Wilkinson.
Wilkinson, oh yeah, he was there regularly, wasn't he?
Yeah, he ran it for a bit.
With that Diane Morgan.
That's so. Right, yeah, yeah.
There
yeah.
is a possibility that Don might That's have even mad, been on actually. My first gig. My first gig was downstairs at the King's Ed, and I know Bobby Carroll was there, and I recall you doing some gigs with me with Bobby Carroll, so I don't know if that's...
Just speak to your man who runs it, because he keeps exhaustive notes.
I was everyone's first gig. I was at Woody Allen's first gig in the 50s, so so yeah, all the comics then.
And also Dom had a really, really excellent Edinburgh, didn't you, boss?
Yeah, Edinburgh is really great. It's amazing
Tons
what you
of
do.
Four and five star reviews.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can do when you spend money on PR. So £2,000, brilliant.
So, is that what £2,000 gets? Because you've got plenty of reviews.
Yeah.
But the thing is, mate,
hecticcattle.com.
It is a lot of money, but it's worse if the show's not very good. And clearly you've got four and five stars. So that means, because you could pay all that for PR and then get two free stars, you know.
Or you could pay that for PR and still no one actually reviews it.
Yeah.
I just pay for the reviews. So. I was really pleased with Edinburgh. I didn't expect to get so many lovely reviews. I think one of the things is it's a shout out to Matt Price, who helped me direct the show.
Oh, yeah.
Fellow comedian, lives down the road from me. Brilliant. He just structured it so well that...
He does live in London then.
He does.
Yes, but we need to get him on.
He needs to get, he's okay. just the guy. I'd call him the Wayne Rooney of comedy.
Okay.
And this is he can play up front.
Right.
He can play in midfield. Yeah. He can play anywhere and you'll smash it.
Right.
He can compare. He can headline a gig. Yeah. He can open. He can go anywhere.
Can't manage a gig though.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see then. So. And the most important thing, he can come to a podcast and he'll provide you with headphones. So.
That's called a callback, that, Mark.
So, I'm Indian. I'm good
Cam's
at callbacks.
Just, Cam's so. Just did a callback.
As I said, I'm Indian. I'm good at callbacks. So.
I don't get that.
Call centre.
Oh,
it's a terrible joke.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I'm lucky. Glad you said that.
Do you want to hear my... it's probably better that you didn't get it.
Yeah, I don't... Exactly. I don't see colours.
I've got a joke about working in the call centre.
Got him.
My job at the call centre didn't last very long. No, my job at the call centre answering phones didn't last very long. Wow, just wasn't for me. I've always liked that joke and never quite got it to be consistent enough to be in the set all the time. Do you know what I mean? If someone came up, say someone works in the call centre, beautiful.
Exactly.
But I do feel like there is a way to do it. So you never know, next tour, that joke might creep in.
Just your venue should just be call centres and then...
So that's they're the people that will get it.
Yeah.
Do you reckon one joke's enough to warrant a tour of call centres?
Yeah. You can tour all over India, can't you? So
yeah.
You're really doubling down on this Indian call center thing.
And I'm not even Indian, am I? No, Dad, joke.
I'll put the venues on hold for now. Come on, Danny, come on.
Okay, hang on, I just got to dial it up.
Oh, there's a joke. Oh, something rings a bell. Ring.
I have a set in my joke, which is probably the joke I...
A joke in your set?
Yeah, just one joke, unfortunately. But it's probably my joke I hate the most, but...
of yours, yeah.
Yeah, because it's so stereotypical, but I say is that I talk about lazy stereotypes, like not all Indians work in call centres, but when I tell people this, they hang up. So,
what's wrong with that?
I like it, but I'm trying to weed out some of the stereotypes in my set. I had a friend in my... I said, I'm going to do no Indian stereotypes. And I went on stage once and every joke was an Indian stereotype. So
right.
I just want to have more variation in my set. I talk... When I do one-liners, I want to try and talk more about politics. That's my big passion. So
yeah. So you want one-liners on politics?
Yeah, try.
Right. So when you did your last show... So that was your first hour in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
What did that consist of? Was it a lot of one-liners, or did you write it fresh for the topic?
No, it was just all my material I had previously from
great
until 2017 when I last did a show, and it was all just politics, talking about being neurodivergent and having an overbearing Indian mother, and I got Matt Price to help me to just structure into a show, and it's all about growing up neurodivergent, having autism and dyspraxia, and how that shaped my politics and why we need a revolution in this country.
Oh, right.
But all of it's in a one-liner format. So
great. Oh, that's cool. So that's just the way you naturally went to write jokes? Or is it just what you liked? Because your first comedian you watched was Tim Vine, so you're obviously a fan of one-liners.
100%. I recently got diagnosed with ADHD, and I worry that if I spend too long without having a punchline, that the audience won't laugh, and I just wanted to get to the punchline as quickly as possible.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I'm the same. I don't know if I've got ADHD, but I've always been like, I don't like talking for too long. I feel like I'm boring myself.
I've got a friend of mine who's got ADHD, and he got recently diagnosed as a comedian.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Because every comedian's
so niche, though. That's the trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Most of my jokes are quite niche. So.
Have you ever written many sort of just comedian-based jokes? So for four comedians. It's like I had found one came up on my Facebook memories the other day, which was, I'm not very good at writing hack jokes, but then I got off the bus.
That's brilliant. Like that is brilliant.
Or something like that. But no one would understand that unless you're a comic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've written quite a few. There used to be a thing in London called pay to play nights.
I think there still is.
Yeah, there is a pay to play nights. And I did a pay to play night, but it got cancelled.
Pay to play?
Yeah.
Oh, no bringers, but you pay to do the gig.
Yeah.
There was a club called Lion saying we had to pay £4.
What?
Yeah. It still exists, but you don't pay to play.
Yeah.
So what I did is I did the Lion's Den. I didn't mention Lion's Den, but I did the Lion's Den pay to play night, which was £4.
Hmm.
But it got cancelled. Luckily, there was a cancellation fee, so I only owed them £2. So, but it's very niche. Yeah. So.
That is very niche.
Yeah, so... And another one that I said is...
Did you try that in front of an audience ever? Or do you just do it for Twitter or Facebook?
On Facebook,
or
Facebook friends. Another one which is equally as bad is I used to gig on the London open mic circuit, and I always stood out from the audience because there wasn't one.
Yeah.
So
the worst thing used to be is there's no one turn up, and then they'd say, right, should we just workshop it? And then you had to do... So we do our sets in front of other acts.
Oh.
Isn't this how this podcast started?
So I did the open mic for years, and I ended up going to Brighton more from Kent because I've discovered that in Brighton they have audiences and it's not just the comics. And then, so I didn't really ever go to open mics much after that in London. And then I got to the final of the Natties, which was formerly the Hackney Empire New Act competition. So I went to...
Thought that was the clang button.
Go for it.
Clang!
Lovely stuff.
What did you get into the final of?
The Natties, what was formerly known as the Hackney Empire New Act of the Year competition.
Same here.
You were in the final
as well? Oh, you as well, were you?
Clang! But I got criticised for it because I got into the finals after 7 years of doing comedy. So.
Yeah.
No, but that doesn't matter in that competition because there's loads of people who have been gone a while.
Exactly, but I was a bit more experienced than I was, so...
Because I'd been going 5 years when I did that, I think.
I'd only be going one when I did it. I think I got eliminated in the first round though, so...
Yeah, I just kept going to the first rounds all the time and then eventually... Because I just couldn't get it. It's such a hard one because it was another one. The rounds to get into the final, there was no audience. It was just comics.
Dog.
It was really hard work. And then the only reason I think I got to the final was it was a really dead gig and then there was an act went on and it was a drag act... Christina Aguilera songs, frying an egg on stage or something like
brilliant.
That. It was proper variety, but it was everyone was like, this is crazy. And I went on and I went, oh, don't you say it on the app before he does all your material.
Yeah.
And that just got the audience. That's because brilliant. That got the comedians laughing. And then I just rode that.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason I think I got to that final. But Christian Aguilera, egg person, was in the final as well. Fun fact. But I was really hoping I was going to follow her.
I mean, how long
was
that at last? 3 minutes?
Do you want to know a fun fact as well?
Was that an egg frying joke?
Fun fact is, Mark Simmons hired that Christian Aguilera person just so he could do that joke, and then got him to the finals as well, so he could do the joke again. So cost a fortune, didn't it?
Do you know what I remember talking about the days of like starting out comedy, doing gigs in London, was down at the Bedford in Balham, and there was there's a very famous comedian on the set, Jimbo,
a brilliant legend.
You know the legend of Jimbo,
right?
There's a very famous story about him where he entered a comedy competition at a pub, and no other acts turned up, and so they were going to cancel it. No other acts turned up. I don't think any audience turned up anyway, and there was a £50 prize, right? And he insisted to the barman or the manager of the pub, right? He said he was just going to give him the 50 quid. He said, "No, I want to do my act. I want to do my act, right?" So he did his act. Yeah, and then the bloke took the 50 quid back off him.
That's a brilliant story. I heard that.
That's great.
He could split a crowd, let's say, right?
And I remember, I've seen him smash and...
Yeah,
same here.
I remember one of those nights at the Bedford in Balham, we're going back to 2000, probably 9 here, that there was only about 10 people in the audience, and Jimbo closed the first half. And basically, people left in the interval, and they were going, I was like, do come back. You know, I'm on the second section. Do come back. And they said, yeah, we are. Look, we're leaving our drinks there. We're just going downstairs. And they sacrificed their drinks to get out of there without there being any awkwardness. Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, they left probably 15, 20 quid's worth of drinks on the table. Just fucking. So they didn't have to say, oh, yeah, no, we're off. We're off. And that was it. The show got cancelled halfway through.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I think I probably was there. I've seen so many where Jimbo's just dug the gig to the ground. So.
But I've seen him smash for 8 minutes and then tank the last two. Like, I love it. It's just that's the beauty of the open mic scene, I think.
And the beauty is that the likes of Frankie Boyle and Stuart Lee all know who Jimbo is.
Yeah.
Mm.
So he's like a circuit legend. Yeah, everyone knows him. So
so on to the topic of the podcast, Don. Got any jokes that you you liked but couldn't get to work, or...?
I got one joke. I used to watch a lot of Milton Jones.
Oh, yeah.
And he used to have these jokes about... I used to be a member of Eavesdroppers Anonymous, not that they don't know that.
Yeah.
And I had some, but they were just terrible. Like, I used to be a member of Hitchhikers Anonymous, but I struggled to get a lift to the meetings.
Nice.
So stuff like that, just really corny jokes that didn't work.
I might not laugh, but thumbs up.
I don't think he even deserves a thumbs up. He's just got about 2 likes on Facebook, so...
So that's cool. So you just took that sort of the anonymous thing.
Yeah.
So I had a joke about Masturbators Anonymous. It's really annoying. They won't let us have a secret handshake. I think it's really good, but that never, again, it's one of those that just wasn't ever consistent enough.
Cogs used to have one about going to Anonymous, but no one knew where the fuck it was.
That is brilliant, though. Yeah, I tried really to do good. Different variations of that and it never quite worked.
What other versions have you had of that?
I'm trying to think. They were so bad I can't even remember. So it's gone anonymous now. So.
That's all right. What any others that you got that you liked?
I'm trying to do some political one-liners, but they don't work. I had one a couple of weeks ago where I said that we've got a free press in this country, but sadly it's a Metro newspaper.
Like, it's been free.
Yeah.
It's free.
Sorry. Yes, that's good.
It is. It just makes you have to think for a
second. It's
more
clever than funny. It's not that funny. I tried it a few times.
So, Dom, just to get... What do you think is the state of the nation at the moment?
The state of the nation? 13 years of brutal Tory austerity has ruined everything. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. That's my honest assessment. And it's even affecting comedy, so...
How is it affecting comedy?
Well, it's affecting comedy in the sense that when you go to Edinburgh, I had to save up for my day job and even borrow some money from my sister to do Edinburgh. So it's becoming a rich person's game.
Mm. I think it's always been a rich person's game, hasn't it?
You see, this idea of like 13 years of Tory austerity, you know, these crooks in charge, and the state that they've left the place in, it's sort of hard to make that funny, isn't it? If people are out and about on a Saturday in a comedy club. You know,
it's a skill, isn't it, to be able to...
It's a tricky one to find the laughter in the sort of the, the moral vacuum, really.
Because I would like just take this moment to say why this is why I love the Free Fringe so much.
Exactly.
Because it allows people that, you know, even though you still get screwed with accommodation price and all that, but you're not getting screwed by the venues hiking up the cost to rent the thing, hiring a screen, hiring a person to press the buttons and all this stuff. So, you know, that's why I've always done Free Fringe.
The only cheap thing was my accommodation. It was Airbnb.
Oh, that's cheap, was it?
Yeah, it was about £500 for the whole month.
How did you manage that? Here we go. There's a big butt coming.
No, it was in I think it was in Meal House, North Edinburgh. But the problem is there was always someone else living in the other room. So I was desperate for the toilet one night and I walked into the bathroom. There's a woman naked on the toilet. I thought she'd locked the door. I just immediately shut it. And if so, I'm going to pay a grand next year for proper accommodation.
That might not get you a lock on the door.
Huh?
What was her reaction?
She just looked stunned and like she didn't think anyone else was in there.
Lock the door.
Exactly. So maybe she didn't know how to lock the door.
I was telling you a story the other day where I walked in on someone, George, when he was, remember when I was in Spain? And he was naked as a newborn on the toilet. And there's another time I've walked in on someone. This is, by the way, when they haven't locked the doors.
There seems to be a theme here, Daddy. You seem to be the common denominator.
No, none of that. My uncle Norman, right?
Are you naked as well?
No. But you know what?
Norman.
The funny things that stick in your, God rest his soul. But you know what's one of the funny things that stick in your head? I can still see that vision of him on the bog, right? And he just looked up at me and smiled as I walked in. And that must have been 33 years ago. So I can still see it, man. I can picture the colour of his trousers.
How old are you?
Corduroy brown. I was probably about 9 or 10, probably.
Right, wow.
Isn't it funny what sticks in your head?
Yeah.
Is your vision of that woman on the toilet still in your head?
Yeah, the other thing is, we're talking about this podcast, I'm just trying to make that into a funny story, so if anyone's got any ideas...
Is that an idea you are trying to work into?
I was thinking, I've told the story to a few comics, but yeah.
Because sometimes there are stories of things that happen... Because we were talking about this with a story that we've told on the podcast before about... So Danny... it's hard to go through the whole thing, but Danny left his coffee cup on top of the car, but that he didn't realise. And he thought people were having a go at him, but they're actually telling him about the thing.
And then he
was so angry and he went fast and he broke and then the coffee just went down the windscreen. Yeah. And that's when we realised what had happened. And to telling people in person, very funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people have told us on the podcast, it made them laugh a lot when we told that story. But doing it in stand-up,
it's different.
Because there's an element of when you're trying to sell something as being real, if it sounds too made up.
Yeah. It was exactly. The whole thing was too perfect. I was driving down through the car park shouting, "You don't play with Daniel J." Because they were pointing at me and gesticulating, exactly. Right? And I was like, "Oh, okay, I'm going down a one-way street. What the fuck is it to you?" But it's funny that some things you just had to either be there. And I think for me, it's probably the funniest thing potentially ever happened.
Be a very gifted storyteller. Well, I think there's something in that, as in, because we are quite... gag. So but you and I are gag heavy.
Definitely.
You don't do storytelling, Danny. You do sort of proper stand up.
Observational, especially. Yeah.
Whereas I think probably someone who people invest in as someone who's just a storyteller. So who was I?
Matt Price would probably be.
Best storyteller and his missus Martha.
I think there's something in. I don't even know what it is. I think it's either natural or it's not being a storyteller, because I'm not a storyteller.
Neither am I.
Because I can't hold people's attention with something like that. I don't think. I start questioning myself. Am I being boring?
Same here, 100%. So.
Whereas I was watching, who's the guy who just did this man old man in the swimming pool special? American guy.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
He's a brilliant storyteller, and it's really good. Oh, I tell you what, I was listening to the other day, because now when I'm on my own traveling back from gigs, I try and find a comedy special somewhere. So I went through Amazon and I found Miles Jupp's comedy special, Fibber in the Heat. Never seen it. I didn't know anything about it. Well, I didn't think I knew anything about it. When I started watching it or listening to it, I remembered that when he was on the podcast, he was talking about that show a little bit in the storytelling. But he is a really good storyteller, because there's things that happen there. And I thought, if I told that, that would not work, because it just doesn't sound real.
Exactly.
But I think it's like a calming presence of how you deliver a story.
You have to have the courage of your convictions, don't you?
100%.
And not be sitting there panicking about it not being funny. You have to be confident in your own raconteurism.
Exactly, yeah, because I would just be constantly questioning myself.
You know, he was on the night after us in Stafford.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was. That was Monday night. Yeah, he was the next guy in.
Yeah, I've heard he's had really good reviews of his new show
at the moment. We might be able to ping him on this if you know.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll come on. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely come back, hopefully.
The thing about, okay, here we go, right? The thing about opening up the door, yeah, in the toilet, and they've been completely naked, was it?
Yeah.
Is it the fact that it's a woman, that you're a bloke, opening the door on a woman?
I think so.
Automatically,
yeah.
Is that going to make the audience get, like,
you're almost
concerned?
You're almost a bad person in the story.
100%, I think so, yeah.
So would it be a simple solve just to make it another bloke?
Yeah, maybe I might do that.
But that on its own isn't really enough or as a thing, is it?
Maybe I'm the one who's naked.
What's that?
Maybe I'm the one who's naked.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, if you could word it as a reveal,
yeah,
where you go, so I walked in on someone on the toilet, completely naked. He was wearing clothes. Or along yeah, those really lines, then you've turned it into a proper joke.
Yeah.
So when I write jokes, my favourite ones are anything that comes from real and then you turned it into a joke.
Same here, 100%.
Because there's more, when you're telling the story at the beginning, I think it's more believable because it did happen.
Yeah.
So the way you tell it, I feel, is different. You get them engaged more.
I've got an example like that. This is genuinely true because I'm on the spectrum and I've got dyspraxia, which affects coordination. I went to my doctors and said, is there any chance I can have a freedom pass? And genuinely, he said that to have a freedom pass, you have to have schizophrenia or worse. So I managed to turn that into a joke and said, can I have two freedom passes then, please? So yeah, that's what I did. I can't write jokes like on pen and paper.
I think that's the clip for this show.
Oh, that's so funny, Don. Does that work?
That does work, but I'm a bit mindful in the sense because schizophrenia isn't just about two personality. It's a
of course
more.
Not.
What I say awkwardly afterwards is I know that's not how schizophrenia works. And that's it, yeah?
Oh, there you go. So, yeah.
So that's all I say awkwardly, yeah. Just to, because obviously we have to be, I don't know, just to be a little bit mindful. Yeah. So.
Maybe you could, you maybe could do, you may, oh.
You could go, I know that's not how schizophrenia works, but I do.
Yeah.
So I might use that.
So what I was thinking, it's similar sort of vibe, but I was thinking where you could continue your story is rather than you say, that's not how schizophrenia works. The guy said to you, I don't think that's funny. That's not how schizophrenia... So the expert's telling you.
Oh, yeah,
and then
user.
You can then do a joke like that and go, yeah, I did know that, but I did.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Any other bits you sort of had in mind to let us know about?
I had one which I thought was really good, but it was just terrible looking at back.
Right.
Which is because I had a job at the factory that made Jenga, but I got sacked from it. They build you up, then they knock you down. It's just terrible. It got loads of likes on Facebook. I thought, this is going to be my next big joke. But
I don't think that's terrible at all. I think it's placement of that, ironically, the placement.
Yeah.
Is actually quite important in the set because that is like a joke. So I feel like if you're coming off of back of sort of realistic setups and jokes and do that, then it's more likely to get a groan. But if you've got like a section where you've got a few more silly jokes like that, I think that's a good joke.
Yeah, I might do that like in just a section of one-liners that I did down
there. How did you do this setup again?
I had a job at the
Jenga factory.
The factory that made Jenga, but they sacked me from it, you know, where they build you up and then they knock you down.
Would it work if you go, I got sacked from my job at the Jenga factory, build you up and then knock you down?
Yeah, I think that's how I did it on Facebook. Yeah. I think that would be a lot better. But
sometimes you do want that bit, I had a job at the Jenga factory, got sacked. Wow. I feel like there's one beat too much in that.
It had to be a great job at the Jenga factory to be built up, yeah?
A
great job at Jenga factory.
A great...
opportunity or something, you know, like...
Yeah, they fast track.
Well, fast track, there it is.
Yeah, yeah, they fast track me. I mean, we're actually adding a lot more words to this. but yeah, yeah. So, you know, I had a really great job at the...
I did the graduate scheme and everything.
Yeah. I was on the graduate scheme.
I got promised promotion. I got, because that's building you up, isn't it?
That is brilliant, yeah.
I got promised promotion at my job.
At the Jenga factory.
And then got sacked. Well, you know what? They build you up and then knock you down again.
That is brilliant. Yeah, that's a lot more succinct.
But again, it's one of those things where...
You need to be high for the low, don't you?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like I say, placement's important because the setup... As soon as you say job at the Jenga factory, everyone's going, right, this isn't real.
Yeah.
So they know it's a joke. So I think that can be a big difference.
Could you just do a lot of things? And this is how you could tie it into your political stuff, talking about unemployment and employment, right?
Yeah, that's what I do. So
that's how you get your politics in as well. Mm. Around the, you know, the more silly stuff is you could do a whole piece about jobs you've lost.
Yeah.
And then, you know, tie that into sort of the levels of unemployment, perhaps.
I do a joke in my set, which I don't bring out. I brought out from Edinburgh Show, but I talk about we've got epidemic of mental health crisis. And because of austerity, my therapist has to take on a second job, but she gives me great nuggets of information. She said, "Don, always look forward, never look back. Great advice, gate therapist. Unfortunately, terrible driving instructor." So, nice. So stuff like that. So
stuff like that, yeah, yeah, yeah.
One joke I might bring back, which is, I think Chalter hated it earlier on, but it's one of the first jokes I've ever written, which is, if you find anything I said offensive, I'm not an offensive comedian. I'm a Hindu. I don't have beef with anyone.
Great. Love that.
I think I've heard you say that.
Yeah, I've done it before, but I might bring it back.
Who didn't like that?
I think it was Chalter.
Oh, gives a fuck. So
it's just a cheesy one-liner, but it's just, you know.
Yeah. Well, so it's nice to beef up the set, isn't it?
I can't say beef twice, Mark. It's all gravy.
No, I can't do that one again.
Okay. Take stock.
I like that one, Mark.
I've done that as well.
Oh. I'll use the one Mark said, but in my next lifetime, so...
Yeah, very good. So, Don, quick fire questions. Yeah. Best/worst heckle you ever had?
Probably the worst heckle I ever had is because I'm an Asian guy who's got a beard. They just said, "You look like Romish." I think every Asian comic with a beard's got that, so
they shouted that out.
Yeah, just I think it's a group of girls, yeah, but I found it funny, so
yeah. Oh, nice. What's the most annoying thing as a comic that you get said to you?
Until recently I gave my job and people said, "Why aren't you on TV?" That is so annoying, as if it's going to be easy as that, because they see Romish and people like that on TV, especially when I took a few boxes. They think, even if you took a few boxes like autism, Asian, dyspraxia, it's going to be easy to
ADHD.
Get on TV. ADHD as well. Mm. It's still hard to get on TV. You have to be really lucky. You have to be really good. And yeah, so.
It's all about social media these days.
100%. So yeah, if you can do both, great. So, but yeah, so I think it's easier said than done. There's so many good comics out there.
That is annoying, because people, when you're new as well, that is the first thing people sort of, they don't actually take you seriously unless you can say, "I've been on something that they recognise."
And I'm working on a new bit for that as well, which is, I arrogantly say I should be on TV with the amount of boxes I tick. I don't have any rights. But did anyone hear about Stephen Hawking being on a so-called list? All I'm saying is Jeffrey Epstein's done more for disability representation than most TV shows in the UK.
Did you tweet that?
I've tweeted that, yeah. So I've done it a couple of times. It's okay. I need to tweak it.
Is this an old-fashioned reference that people call television the box? What's on the box, right?
Yeah, they still do that.
Yeah,
don't they?
So could you just say that's the only box that you can't...
Yeah, that is brilliant.
The only box
I
can't get in...
Is the television.
Or something like that. It's not that quite right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's ticking a box.
You're ticking
isn't
a box,
it?
But can you make, you know,
the only box I can't tick is the television. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not quite. Mate. There's something to think about there, though, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah.
Shall I start the closing jingle?
Yeah, start it.
Okay, here we go. Oh, fuck's sake.
Oh, Danny.
Right, we're doing so well. We were doing so well as well, weren't we?
At least the guests can hear when we get it wrong this time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, great stuff. Thank you for coming in, Don.
Thank you very much for having us. Cheers.
And where can people find your stuff?
Follow me at Don Business Comedy on Twitter and Instagram, and also TikTok.
And are you going back to Edinburgh?
I might do a work in progress, but I'm undecided yet.
Okay, so maybe go check that out if you're in Edinburgh, see if Don's up there. Danny Ward Comedy, go give Danny a follow. The Quip of the Mark tour is rolling into 2024. Lots of dates. In June and July, then we're off to Edinburgh, and then September, October, November. So go check out all the ticket sales.
I'm not going to Edinburgh. I'm going to LA.
Oh, that is brilliant.
Look at that.
I just like to make one thing. I talk about TV. I'm actually on the BBC Asian Network on the 29th of February.
Oh, there you go.
In Glasgow at the Key Club, so go and get your tickets there.
You kept that one to the end, didn't you?
Yeah, I just thought I might as well plug that. I don't plug myself enough. But,
yeah, definitely, mate.
Check that out. Done.
And then after that, I'm on Jeffrey Epstein's island. No.
And marksims.co.uk for tour tickets. Anything more from you, Danny?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Danny. Hashtag Awooga. Remember,
be more Gareth. Hashtag Awooga.